that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come with thanksgiving, praise and glory to your lovely name, thanking you for the day, thanking you for the health and strength you give us, Lord. We thank you for this great hour, this great opportunity that we have, Lord, knowing that it's in this hour that the seals have been tore off, and Lord, you've revealed yourself, Father. You've revealed your bride. You reveal the great plan of redemption. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to each heart this morning, those that are here, those that will be listening in, those that are not able, that may be working or whatever, Lord, be with them. Continue to strengthen them, guide them, protect them, keep them, Lord. Your bride around the world, Lord, as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It's good to see you this morning. And we appreciate the opportunity we have to come together. And as we say the same thing every time, and we mean it just the same every time. And so we're so thankful that this sickness now has moved out, and trust everybody's back 100%, feeling good. And it's been a little bit of time, and it's very unusual to have so many sick at one time like that. But I believe that Satan is defeated, and that we do have the victory no matter what condition we find ourselves in. And so we just want to remember those that are not able to be here. And there's a brother in India that we've been talking to for some time. He's listening in, his brother's Pranay, and I'm not sure exactly where he's at, but I think he's somewhere close to brother JP around Hyderabad, somewhere close there. And we've been encouraging him to come and listen and hear the voice of God in this last day. And that's the thing that we're thankful for. And that's what has been the requirement in every age, is to be able to hear the voice of God in the day that you live in. And so now this is part two, but I titled this morning, The God of the Earth. But I'm also talking about the inheritance, and the inheritance is the earth that was given to Adam, and he was the God of it, and he was in full control of it. And so I'm going to read one verse of scripture here, and that's going to be Matthew chapter 5 and the 5th verse, and said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I want to go into a message called The Junction of Time. This is in 1956, and I'm going to... most of what I'm going to read this morning is going to be before the seals. From this message, I'm going to just review a couple little parts of the quotes we read out of the breach on Wednesday, and then we're going to go into 1961, where he's preaching the original church ages. And so just bear with me a little bit here. I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you once again, I have a lot of quotes that I've put in here, and I'm not going to read them all, but it's so that you can read it later. For those of you who want to, when I'm searching these things, there's no way to be able to read it all, but I definitely want to be able to read some of it and put it there, and then those of you who want to get more of the details, you can read it. And so this first quote is another one of those that is a by the way. This is not on Adam. This is not on the book. This is the prophet. As he's preaching, he's making this statement. He said, "If you went into a restaurant and you took a bowl of soup and it had a fly in it, you'd kick it out. You'd kick it away. Huh? And you would fuss. You'd raise what a fuss you would raise with the man who served you. And see, I'll never eat in this place again. If that's the way you cook your food, huh? If you find a spider in it, you find this in it, you find that in it. And no, nobody wants that. See, You'll watch that little body of yours that nothing bad goes into it. But you'll poke any kind of poison there is in your soul. That's right. And so the prophet brings us the best examples to really help us, because what he's saying is the truth. We're very careful what we eat. We look at what we eat. If we see something in there, and, you know, they have some of these factories and stuff, and I'm not talking about flowers. They're a very, very clean place. But they have inspectors in some of these factories that make soup, make these different things. You know, they have allotments of, I'm saying allotments, they have the rules, and like they're allowed so much. Like they can have one rat, or they can have so many spiders, or they can have so many this, or they can have so many that. And that's really there. If they go in and there's 10 rats, then they're going to be condemned and shut down. But if they have one, they can get by. Now, nobody wants that one rat. Nobody wants that rat in their food. But they give them some leeway is what I'm saying. And so, but you don't want that in your food. When it comes to your table, you don't want that. And so, but Brother Branham is saying how careful we are about the natural side and how uncareful we are about the spiritual side.
Yes, sir.
And so that's where, I think that's where for the seed, it becomes a serious thing, because it really begins to matter. You really begin to care about what you're reading. You care about what you're hearing. You care about what you're saying amen to, about what you're accepting.
Right.
You're not just saying amen. And you know, I believe every one of you know, that the farther we go along in this revelation, you just remember now, from 63 to 65, the prophet was bringing the revelation. The seals opened in March of 1963. The prophet went off the scene in December 1965. And so the revelation was all, it was in there. And then that revelation, it was setting there. And we find that after some time, after some years, people were studying, and they were really looking at it. And it began to open up a little bit. And things like the two souls began to come out, and these different revelations of things that was, they were in there. They were laying in there just waiting for somebody that was interested enough to read it and believe it.
Right.
And that takes, that's the same thing with the scripture. That's the same thing that happened at Pentecost. There was somebody, Brother Branham said it was a one-eyed black man on Azusa Street, that God quickened that thing to him. He kept reading it, and he kept reading it, and he said, God said he's going to pour out his spirit in the last days.
Yes, sir.
And God quickened that thing to him so much until he just kept saying it. And he kept saying it, and he kept saying it, and one day it happened.
Amen.
And it happened on him, and it happened on his church, and it happened down the street, and it happened on the neighborhood, and it began happening on the nation.
Yes, sir.
And so that same thing happens in every age. When God sends a prophet on the scene, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of God. And that's the difference between the elect and the non-elect, is the children of God in every age. They're able to recognize the voice of God. It's just a very simple difference.
Right. Now,
we can bring up a lot of points and a lot of details and a lot of different things, but that just brings it down in a nutshell, is those who are able to hear the voice of God in the day that they live.
Right.
If you'd have lived in Noah's day, that was the voice of God. You'd have believed Noah.
Yes.
You'd have just believed it. No, even though there was no science, actually all the science was against it. Actually, all theology was against it. All school, scholarships, theology was against it, because there was no way to prove it. There was no way to prove that. There's no way it could be. Moses was the voice of God. Jeremiah was the voice of God. Every age. And God anointed the people. God anointed the people in that day. And, you know, I was just reading yesterday, actually, in about John the Baptist. I think it was Matthew 3, chapter 3 and chapter 4. And where he was talking about John the Baptist, and he said, all of Jerusalem came out to hear him, and all of Judea, and all of the surrounding territories, all the surrounding places. And you, when you think of John the Baptist, sometimes you're thinking, no, this little guy here in the camel skin, he didn't have no education, he didn't have nothing. He come out, and maybe there was a half a dozen people down there listening to him. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
His ministry was so powerful. It was so powerful. God had so anointed it. Now, they may have went away by the thousands afterwards, but they were caught up
right.
in that outpouring. They were caught up in that revelation, and they were coming to him, and he was telling them to be baptized, and they were getting baptized.
Yes, sir.
And it says all of these surrounding places, Jerusalem, Judea, all the surrounding territories, they were coming
Amen.
Because the anointing was upon it. When God is bringing a message to an age, He puts the anointing on that minister, and He puts the anointing on the people of that place, that time, that period, that the nations, the ones that are going to receive it.
Yes, sir.
The anointing goes upon it, and it draws many people. It draws many people. I've seen many times on the mission field over the years. He just does something, and you wonder because you feel so insufficient. And you, especially with me going in other countries like India, you know, going back into places where they never seen a white man before. And I think some of the places maybe we went when Brother Gumba was maybe, they never seen a black man. They're dark skinned, but they never seen an African. And so you can go back in those places and they're still there. The cities are as developed as we are, but you can go back in the bush. And so, but sometimes God allowed the anointing be so strong that you just feel like everybody there is accepting it. It's just such an anointing, and everybody's excited. But then as soon as you're done, immediately Satan comes in there, and he begins working on that. And what looked like, everything that looked like a believer was not a believer. But there was just a little group that was able to survive from that, that was able to continue on from that.
Amen.
That's how God operates. He has a way,
right.
And it always comes in a mystery. And I've had people jump and shout and praise God and thank God and say, this is wonderful, this is a great revelation, this is powerful. And then before I could get from their country back home, there was already letters in the mail. Brother, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. It's there.
Right.
When we left Florida, there was a busload coming. There was a bus. I watched a lady jump out of her chair and say, you're not leaving me here. I'm going too. It didn't take but a week or two. And she was asking the question, is the rapture going to be universal? Absolutely going to be universal. I'm not going nowhere. Nobody told you. Nobody was trying to get you to. You're the one who said you was going. You're the one who jumped out of your chair. Huh? So who was that, Satan or was that God? You decide. You have to decide it yourself. Nobody can decide for you. You can't persuade somebody to do anything.
Correct.
It's them and God.
Yes,
you just speak the word. And if that seed of God is in there, there's something's going to happen.
Amen.
See, you won't. You just watch what you put in there. Let it come down from the word of God. Don't take any petty, soft glove things. We need to take off our shirts and preach the gospel. See? God, that's right, the power of God unto salvation, and stand on God's word and His promises. See, what Brother Branham said about faith, he said, faith has hair on its chest.
Right.
What's he saying? Take off our shirts. We need to show some power.
Amen.
We need to show some boldness. We need to show some positiveness.
Right.
We see the Bible said that these things would happen. He said in the last days there would be scoffers making fun, pointing their fingers, saying there's no such thing. The days of miracles have passed. But he said he'd have a church that signs and wonders would be following after. And we got it.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes,
I thank God for those three little words.
Amen.
Those three little words. Because
yes.
People come along and say, I don't see it. I don't see it nowhere. I just see the prophet. I don't see nobody else. He said we got it.
Yes, sir.
And he said another time, he said, maybe I can't produce what you can. Maybe you got more faith than me. Maybe God's doing more powerful things in your ministry than mine. You know what Brother Branham said about that? He said, I'm going to lift you.
Right.
I'm going to push
right.
you. I'm not going to be jealous of you.
Amen.
I'm not going to feel bad about you.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm going to say, praise God, look what God's doing.
Amen.
You don't say that when it's just coming to you. You say it when you see what God's doing.
Yes, sir.
That's the thing. When God's doing something, promote that. It doesn't matter who's it coming through.
Right.
Promote what God is doing because He's the one doing it.
That's right.
And that's the one we're lifting. That's the one we're praising.
Yes, sir.
See, now, paragraph 46 now. That was your by the way. Now, it's been in all ages. When God first made creation in the phenomenal way, when He spoke the world into existence, Brother Branham makes a loud blowing sound, just, whew, there goes the stars. Whew, there goes the moon. See? Blow the stars and moons off His hands. And they say, express the word, right? And it come into existence. See, the very earth. See, the very earth that you're sitting on today was the created word of God. Praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
This is why it's hard for people.
Right.
You accept it simply and you say, yes, it just happened. It just happened. But Brother Bram said, where did He get the materials? Where did He get the stuff to make this earth? Where did He get the materials for the stars and for the sun and for the... Where did He get it? Brother Branham said He believed His own word. His own word, He believed it. He didn't need anything. He just spoke it and it was there. You just think... This is why it's hard for the intellectual. This is why it's hard for... it can be hard for anybody. He absolutely... There was nothing and He spoke into existence.
Yes, sir.
Where there was nothing.
Right.
And a lot of people say they believe that. They believe God. They believe the creation. They believe that. But then they can't believe this over here.
Right.
That God could do it through a man.
Right.
When the whole Bible, He was doing it through a man.
Yeah.
The whole time He was doing it through a man.
Yeah.
When a man could come along and tell you your name and tell you where you lived and tell you what was wrong with you, tell you something that happened when you was a child and nobody knows that but you.
Right.
Just you. You know that. And that man that you never met before revealed to you something you did in your childhood, and that's what's the reason why you have the problem that you have. And then God, take that out of the way. Faith is a very powerful thing.
Right.
See, if He didn't speak the world into existence, where did He get the material to make it out of? Where did it come from? See, sure He did. He spoke it into existence. It's the Word of God. Huh? This earth, all of it, it's the Word of God. The very dirt and things that you're sitting on today, it's the creative Word of God.
Amen.
Huh? Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
This whole thing out here, you look at it, the trees, the sky, the sun, the moon, all of it, it's the spoken word of God. It's the created word of God.
Amen.
Look next to you.
Yes, sir.
Touch that.
Amen.
Huh? That's the creation of God.
Yes, sir.
When He took nothing and He spoke it into existence.
Right.
When He took nothing and He spoke it into existence. And then He put Himself in that flesh.
Yes, sir.
That eternal into him into that flesh. That eternal life in there.
Amen.
Sister Edith was telling me yesterday, she was somewhere and she was talking to a couple of ladies, church ladies, and they were telling her that there was two gods. And she was trying to tell them there's only one God. And I guess I hadn't talked enough to nominal people to realize they actually said it. The preachers that I talked to over the years, they always said it was one God, but that there was two of them. There was because the scripture says there's only one God, so they always tried to come back and say there's one God, and then at the same time try to tell you there's two people there, the Father and the Son. And so, but she's saying these ladies clearly identify there's two people. This is two. No, they said two gods. They said two gods, and so how can you read your Bible?
Right.
How can you read your Bible and come with that conclusion? It won't work.
Amen.
That eternal Spirit created a body, and that eternal Spirit, the Father, came down in that flesh body.
Yes, sir.
And by creating that flesh body, He could call it His Son.
Right.
And the Father lived in the Son,
Amen.
The body. See, now notice, you're here because you come into creation by the speaking of the Word of God, every one of you. And notice, if you get old, die away, you go back to the dust of the earth. See, the earth is the mother of every natural thing that the eye can see. That's right. So, in every age, when the supernatural was being done, when the revelation was being revealed, as I said in Noah's day, Science could prove that there's no water up there. But God was going to put it there. God was going to put it there. And not only that, He was going to bring it out of the earth. That's what the scripture says.
That's right.
Paragraph 47. Now I want you to notice a minute now. When God made Adam and Eve and made the creation and everything, it was beautiful. And Adam had control of the powers of God. Adam had control of the powers of God. How did he do that? Because God gave it to him.
Amen.
And when God gave it to him, Adam recognized what God had given him.
Yes,
and I'm using that terminology because that's what it has been lost.
Right.
That's what got lost, is being able to recognize what God has given you.
Amen.
And it had to come to a place where that you, by faith, believe what God said over what everything else has said.
Amen.
Even what you yourself think. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Even more than what your own mind is telling you, you're believing this, the Word of God, over what your mind says.
Yes.
Adam had control of the powers of God. He could speak anything. And it would obey him just exactly like it would God. How about that?
Yeah.
Anything he said, it was just like God speaking. Adam could speak it, and there it would be. He had a perfect fellowship with God. He walked with God. He walked with him. He talked with him. He communed with him. He had fellowship with him.
Amen.
That was Adam and God. He had something.
Yes, sir.
And when Adam and Eve, when Eve sinned and they went out of the Garden of Eden, they come on down, the world began unfolding. And as it unfolded more and more, the first thing you know, the cities, they begin to build. And that's one of the great signs of the end time. See? Our little city of Jeffersonville here has raised up about from 14,000 people to just a little over, from a little old river city, from 14,000 to around 30,000 something in the last few years. You think?
Yes, sir.
Now, he's identifying that as a sign of the end days and was showing it a sign in the beginning. It was something they began doing in the beginning, and now here it is, a sign again at the end.
Amen.
Of what's going to happen. They're tearing out all the farms and everything else, making housing projects. What's the matter? It's a sign of the end time. That's right. I can remember when I was a kid. Now, this was in the 60s, and then I was a kid in the 60s. And so when Brother Branham died, I would have been about 8 years old. And so during that time, we were watching all the time, the farms began going away. And it was talked about. It's been talked about my whole life. Where's the farm? The farms are going. And then in the 70s, 80s, then we realized we weren't getting as much from here, that it was coming from other countries. They were getting it from South America. They were getting it from these other places. But at one time, And this is happening in Kenya. I see it in Kenya. It's happening in India. But you go, at one time, every family, they had their land. And every family, they had a shamba. And so everybody had, maybe they didn't have much land, but they had a shamba. They had some type of farm. They might have an animal or they might not. But everybody grew something. Do you know that was here one time? At one time, when I was a kid, most people had a shamba. I'm saying shamba, that's Swahili. It's a garden. Most people, they had a garden. And those that had any amount of property, they could have animals, they'd have cows, they'd raise hogs, chickens, whatever. At one time, that was very prominent. Everybody was doing that. And then it just developed and developed. And the farmers died, the children sold the property. And that's what happens. They see that opportunity for money, and they're not interested in that hard work. But it's everywhere. It's here, and you just wonder how we've survived this long. Yes, you think. The farms have been going away and building subdivisions since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the last, I don't know, 10 years in Kenya, you watch how it's moved into those farmlands. And they're selling the land, building houses. And they're not building shacks anymore. They're building big houses, 2 and 3 stories. So there's money somewhere. Mm-hmm. See, now I'm going back now. This is from Wednesday night. I just really condensed just a few paragraphs. Because I wanted to bring this back to your attention. Because Adam lost the rights of that book. He forfeited it when he listened to his wife. Now, what did Adam lose? He lost the rights. He lost the rights to the book. Is that right? So he had the rights to the book. Now he's lost the rights to the book when he failed. It was forfeited. Then it couldn't go back to the dirty hands of Satan who tempted her out of the way. See? It went back to its original owner. Like any abstract deed would do. It goes back to its original owner. That's right. So, and that was God, the Creator, who made it, and He holds it. See? Now that's Brother Branham brought the same thing in the Old Testament, and he said that in Leviticus, I think it was Leviticus 25, they were given their inheritance, then that land stayed in the property. I mean, that property stayed in the family forever. And so, but now if they came on hard times, they could sell the land and they could let it out, and then somebody could come in and they could farm it. They could build on it. They could destroy. They could do anything they wanted to do. Okay? But there was a limited time, and that was 50 years. And at the end of 50 years, it was called the Jubilee, and then that property was going to go back to the original owner. And now, one time, and I don't know, I think Brother Goomba told me this way back, maybe 15, 20 years ago, we were talking property, and I didn't know it, but they have a thing there that after 100 years, do they still have that? After 100 years, it goes back. 99 years, it goes back to the original. So if you're buying it, then you got it for the 99 years. Yeah. Okay. And so that's something similar. And that's how what God did in Leviticus, that was their inheritance. And think now, that's important, because now you can lose your inheritance in this life, these different things, all of our way we do it today. But with God, let's put that in the spiritual. With God, you can't lose this thing, but for a period of time. See, and if God did this, He knew it, and He said that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Is that right? It was slain before the foundation of the world. And so then Satan comes in and he causes the fall. And now, so the inheritance is lost. And so now God has made a way. He's made a way. And it might be thousands of years before he accomplishes this. But he gives them a covering. He gives them a temporary way to make this thing work. And it was complex. There was many. I just started looking at some of it yesterday. All of the different offerings that they had in the Old Testament. And then the feast days. Most of you are familiar with all of them. They had, I think, maybe 3 in the fall and 4 in the spring. And so there was seven feast days there. But they had many offerings and sacrifices, and some of them were specific for certain things. Some were specific for sin, for guilt, for different things. And some of them was mandatory. Some of them was voluntary. Some of them could be mixed together, like you have a burnt offering for this, and then if you wanted to add another kind of offering along with that, of the grain offering or the heave offering or whatever. They had many, many variations of doing that. But all of that was a part of their redemption. It was the covering of sin. And so it was a way that they were worshiping God. And so from the very beginning, God put this thing right into motion. He came on the earth. He had it in his mind, his attributes, that he was a savior. And so immediately, God put this thing into motion. And immediately, man falls. This is all right at the beginning. Right at the beginning, God's getting right on this thing. This is the attribute I'm going to manifest, and I'm going to get it right now, get started right now. So man goes in there, and in no time at all, he's failed, he's put out, and now there is a way of redemption. And that's the blood of bulls and goats. And that evolved into the law of Moses, and it got greater and greater and more different things that went with it. And then it came all the way down thousands of more years until it came to the blood of Jesus Christ, and the price was paid. Once and for all, it was paid. But God was working on this thing thousands of years. This thing was coming. Yes, sir. And then coming down to the end now, to the climax of the whole thing, then God reveals the great plan. He reveals the whole plan of redemption. And he'd been doing it all the way through. But here it was, unfolding the thing. So watch this. The breach between paragraph 91. Now, we don't need anybody to interpret that for us. See? For, of course, we know it was eternal life they had fallen from. I just wanted to bring that back to your mind. Because Brother Branham is declaring it here as the seals haven't even started yet. They're going to start the next service. They're going to begin to be opened with the first seal. But here, he's telling us, he's bringing that plan together. He's showing us the breach between. See, we don't need anybody to interpret that for us, see? For, of course, we know it was eternal life they had fallen from. See? And they lost their claims on eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under them to death. Now, some people read this and they get different ideas out of it. They get different things. So some people read this and that Adam didn't have eternal life, but he was going to get it if he continued doing good. Okay? So then, but here he's saying it's eternal life they fell from. Right. And they lost their claims on eternal life. So if you want to, you can also take those statements like that. A while ago he said they lost their rights. They lost their rights. So for my many years, this question never entered my mind until it did. And that was whether Adam had eternal life. Brother Adam had eternal life before the fall. And so it's came into question in the last 10 years a lot. And more in the last 5 years, and more. And so I tried to stay off it as much as I could, and now I'm not trying to stay off of it.
Amen.
And so I want to ask you something. We know it was eternal life they've fallen from. We know it was eternal life they've fallen from. So if you fall from eternal life, what does that mean? What does that mean? That you don't have it anymore? So I talked to a brother one time, and every time he would say this, I said he lost it in the flesh. And finally one day he said, "Why do you keep saying that? In the flesh, in the flesh." I said that's where he loses it at. Because you can't lose eternal life. You can't lose eternal life.
That's right.
It can't stop being eternal. Brother Branham said that was the common sense factor of no eternal burning hell.
Right. Right.
Now what he said? He said people say, well, they'll burn in hell for eternity. He said common sense would tell you.
Amen.
That if you burn in hell for eternity, then you have eternal life.
Right.
He said, right?
Right?
Right? If you're going to do anything for eternity, then you have eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Because you're recognizing that you're living. You're recognizing that you're burning in hell. And you're doing it eternally. And so Brother Branham said, common sense will tell you. So words mean something.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. That doesn't work. We know it was eternal life that they fell from. They lost their claims of eternal life by the fall, who fell from eternal life to death in the Garden of Eden and brought all nature under them. So what died? The body died. Adam's body died.
Right.
We read it the other night. Adam was the son of God.
Yes, sir.
So did he stop being the son of God?
No, sir.
No, at no time. Brother Goomba's sitting right there. He's got a son sitting right there. He can tell his son to do something, and that son can try to do that and fail. And fail. And completely fail to do what he told him to do. And it doesn't change him being his son.
Amen. That's right.
Never does he come along and say, "You're not my son." No. That don't make sense. It never makes sense.
Right.
That's just hurtful pride. I've actually heard people say that, but that's just a moment of whatever. Whatever you're saying it for, to try to maybe hurt somebody else. If you're saying it to you come say it to your son or your daughter and say, "You're not mine anymore." No, I'll always be yours.
Right.
No matter what you say, no matter how much you hurt me, no matter what. You're not going to change that.
Amen.
You can't change it.
Right.
And a true father doesn't want to change it.
Amen.
And a true son, daughter, doesn't want to change it. They don't want to change that.
That's right.
See, so they lost their claims, right? All right. A tree never died before Adam. An animal wouldn't die before Adam. And there's only one thing that cannot die. And that's God, because he's eternal. And that's the only way we can ever keep from dying. We have to have eternal life in us. See? To be sons and daughters of God. But when we died, as I said in the message this morning, to sin, we sold out our birthright and crossed this chasm. And now we're beyond the reach of God and on this other side of the chasm. That's what happened with Adam. Okay, so that was going to take a redeemer. That was going to take a redeemer to get back that eternal life in the flesh.
Amen.
He just got done saying, eternal life, it doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an ending. So it's not going to go that way. When at 99, and when Adam sinned by heeding to his wife's reasoning instead of holding to God's word, that's what made Adam sin. And his wife reasoned with Satan and then produced the product to Adam. And Adam turned loose the word and sold out. Right? What did he do? He claimed his wife. He saved his wife. There, that was it. That's where he sold out. He sold out to save his wife. That means something to me.
Yes, sir.
That you can say, well, he turned loose and now he's not a son of God. He didn't have eternal life. He didn't this. He stepped up and did the greatest thing that could be done.
That's right.
He gave his life for his wife.
Amen.
He gave it a perfect type of Christ.
Yes, sir.
The second Adam.
Amen.
This is the man. This is the man that the Father is identified with. The Father's identifying himself as the second Adam. Isn't that something? Usually it's the other way, isn't it? The Father's first, the Son's second. Here, the Son's first and the Father's second. By name. By manifestation. Adam came on and manifested that same life. He lost also his inheritance when he lost his fellowship. He lost his inheritance. Now, he said a while ago he lost his rights. He's lost his inheritance when he lost his fellowship. Now, he's lost his fellowship and his right to life. See? Remember, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. And when he lost his life, he also lost his inheritance in life. Huh? Because he had completely supreme control of the earth. Now, I don't get tired of saying that.
Amen.
Because to me, that is a powerful statement.
Yes.
And that powerful statement is supposed to be attributed to us.
Right.
Huh? We're all that he had is supposed to be restored to us. Is that right?
Yes.
It's supposed to be restored.
Yes, sir.
The prophet said it's restored. And Brother Ren in the scripture kept saying, the works that I do, will you do also? So there's something there. I don't know if you, I don't know how many of you, but when I first came to the message, we were still in the seventh church age. The thunders, nobody was talking about. Actually, preachers didn't want you to talk about it. I actually went to ministers' meetings as a young man, and I wasn't really preaching, but I got to go. And these old preachers that were here when Brother Branham was, and they were, some of them were the transcribers for the books for spoken word, different ones. And they've been around, and you just felt kind of a reverence, you know, because here was men that was with the prophet. And you, and in those days, you know, there wasn't much revelation floating around like it is now. Now, anybody, you can go to a backwoods farmer and he can give you a lot of revelation.
Right.
But in those days, there was very few, and the authorities were mostly those who had been with Brother Branham. And their thing was, you bring up the thunders, and they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want nothing to do with that. But in those days also, we were looking at speaking the word. We were looking at the ability to, you know, pray for the sick, raise the dead. Those were the only things we knew. The doctrines were simple. The doctrines were basic. There was one God, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, serpent seed. There was the polygamy was coming in, because none of those believed it, but it was coming in. But one of the things that was there, and I don't know if any of you can ever relate to this, but you remember the first time that you ever heard the story of Georgie Carter? Georgie Carter? Yeah, she was the one who was in the bed and been there for a long time. And her parents didn't believe. I think they were Church of Christ. They were Church of Christ. And so God revealed to the prophet that this girl could have faith to be healed. And so They come down to the parents. Actually, first he was invited, and then later, I think, it was revealed. But so anyways, he goes down there, and he's trying to talk to the girl. And the parents wouldn't stay in the house. And I might have that. One time they left. Another time I think they were, because I think he made them turn their back. So anyways, he sits down with this girl, and there's a little table in the kitchen, and they're sitting there, and there's a light like this, and there was a necklace hanging from the light. You remember that?
Yeah.
And that necklace was hanging from the light, and Brother Branham's talking to this girl, and he's telling her, he said, now, you know you're going to die. You know that your time is short if God don't do something. And she said, yes, I know. She said, but I heard about that other girl that got healed, and I believe God can heal me too. And he said, do you believe? Do you believe? And she said, yes. He said, and Brother Branham knew she didn't have faith. He knew she was trying to believe. He knew she was hoping she would be healed. And so he asked her, he said, will you have faith? All things are possible. She said, yes. He said, you see that necklace right there? He said, I want you to make that necklace go spin around. And then I want you to stop it, and I want you to make it spin the other way. And she said, well, Brother Branham, nobody can do that. And she said, he said you believed all things. And so she said, can you do it? And he said, yes, I can do it. She said, I want to see it. So that's when he made the rest of them turn away, because he wasn't going to do it for a show. And he made that necklace go one way, and then he stopped it, and he spoke to it. He said, I don't even remember if he spoke to it. I don't know if he just looked at it and made it go around, and then made it stop and made it go the other way. And then she said, Brother Brown, that's spiritualism. That's spiritualism. He said, I thought you might say that. And so he was trying to build her faith up. He was trying to build her faith up. And she was healed. And the mother fainted, and they, hopefully they didn't stay in that church. Hopefully they came out. But what I'm going to ask you is this. How many of you ever tried to do it? Nobody? Huh? Then it's me and her. I did. And this was way back. And I don't know, I might have been her age when I did it. But I thought this was mandatory. This is the faith we need to have. Okay? And we do need to have that faith. Don't get me wrong. We do need to have that faith. And I stared at that thing and stared at that thing, and it never moved. I'm not going to ask the sister if it moved for her. But I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible if you have faith that you can move that thing. Brother Branham said, I have a Barlow knife. And he said, it was on my dresser this morning. He said, but if I needed that knife right now, and he said, I would reach in my pocket and it would be there, and I would get it and I would use it. That's the kind of faith that he's talking about. And so those were the things that we thought was so important during Pentecost. But we've come to a higher level now. But that is still real. That is still real, and that's still, we need that kind of a faith. Yeah. But not for a show, not for to impress somebody. God's not playing a game. God's not putting on a show. Amen. But God is bringing this bride into that place. And you, when you look at where we're at, let's just think just for a minute. This man lost his rights to eternal life. He lost his inheritance, which is the earth. Is that right? He lost his inheritance. He lost his fellowship with God. They walked and they talked together every day. God and Adam, they had fellowship. The scripture says in the cool of the evening, God would come down and they would fellowship together. Huh? And so it says he lost his life to write. Is that right? Think. Now, the scripture says, the message tells us that all that Adam lost was restored at Calvary. Is that right? It was restored. And so, I'm going to tell you, I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I don't feel like I'm there. I know according to the Word, I'm there. According to the Word. But according to what I want. I read this morning where our brother was saying that all that Adam had, we've been restored to. But that Adam was put on free moral agency. And he was. And he failed. And he failed because God was going to express his attributes as a Savior. Amen. That was the purpose. That was the whole purpose. And he put him on a conditional covenant, and he come right on down, and then he gave Abraham a covenant that was unconditional, and he comes down into this day, and the statement was made that we don't have free moral agency today in the bride. Brother Branham said we're on the same basis that Adam was. And so he said, because we are virgin born by the Word. And I thought, that sounds really good. When you think about it, that sounds really good. We're virgin born by the Word. So Brother Adam said, we don't want our own choice. We want His choice. But this flesh, my flesh, is still making decisions. My flesh is still deciding right and wrong. My flesh is still fighting the battle. So now my soul wants to please Him in every way. My soul doesn't want the world or the things of the world. My soul has separated from those things. But this flesh is still in the battle. It's still struggling. And if I got it all wrong, you brothers just come and say, anybody come and straighten me out. But this thing, it just keeps getting more of a razor edge and a razor edge and a razor edge. And it sounds so good. And it sounds so good. And I'm not fighting anybody. I'm just saying that those things, when they're spoken, they're out there for us. To bring us up a little higher, or for us to recognize that that's not exactly right. So, God's a God of the universe. What is Adam? A God of the earth. Adam was a God of the earth. Let's read that. He was a God of the earth. And God's a God of the universe everywhere. But His Son had this earth under His own control. And He could speak. And He could name. And He could say. And He could stop nature. And He could do anything that He wanted to do. Why? Did He ever do anything outside of the nature of Christ? We're talking about Adam. Did Adam ever do anything outside? He could do anything he wanted to do. And he was in perfect harmony with nature. He was in perfect harmony with the earth. He was complete, supreme control over all of it. Yes, God gave him that power. He shared that power with God. God was the God of heavens and earth. And his son Adam was the God of the earth. God put him there over every single thing. See, he could do anything that he wanted to do, see? But when he did that, he lost his inheritance, see? And now Adam could say, let this mountain be moved over there, and it would do it. And Adam could say, let this tree here be plucked up and planted over there, and it would do it. For he had complete, supreme control. What does the word complete mean? Does it mean 100%? Or does it mean 50%? It's 100%. It's not a half. See? For he had complete supreme control as a minor god under God our Father, because he was a son of God. Now, he wasn't going to be a son of God. He already was a son of God. He wasn't going to be one day be a son of God. He was a son of God. One more here. This is still just refreshing from Wednesday. Now, couldn't we stop here just a minute and get our real sermon? See, oh, then if the blood has cleansed it back, what about now? See, look what the Son of God, the second Adam, did, see? And said, the works that I do shall you also. See, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold out to, Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasoning. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth that belonged to him, he forfeited it every bit to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hand to Satan. Now, I want to hold on to that thought there when he's saying his right to the tree of life. His right. He lost his right. And then God, to hold that in its place, he put cherubims there to guard that tree of life. Amen. Right? He was protecting that tree of life so that it couldn't be. And so the only thing now, the way to protect that thing is another veil. Something to keep them from recognizing their rights. Because they were created for this. They were a part of God. So this part of God now is not able to recognize that they're in complete supreme control of the whole earth. Huh? That they are truly a son of God. That's where people, even when the price was paid at Calvary and the Holy Ghost was poured out and the Spirit come upon the people, there was still something lacking. There was still was not 100% under the revelation of who they were. No, they still had to do something. They still had to do something in that place. And that's what's been moved today. Today, it's completely moved out. The revelation is 100% that you and God are one. You and God are one before the foundation of the world. You didn't begin being the Son. You didn't stop being the Son. You didn't begin having eternal life. You didn't end having eternal life. You always was a part of God because there's only one eternal life.
Yes, sir.
That is part of the revelation today.
Amen.
That there's only one eternal life. And that's God himself.
That's right.
For me, when we came in the message, there was this idea that you do this and you do this and you do this and God's going to give you eternal life. That was the idea. Okay? So you're going to repent, you're going to be baptized, and then you're going to do this, and they had a new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is two different things. You do this and then this is going to come. Okay? And so there was this process and it could take you years. And then they branched out into different churches. You speak in tongues or you do this or you do that. And so it got all messed up. But when those seals broke open, that prophet came on the scene and he said, you always was a son of God. You was eternal with God in the beginning. That you are a Messiah. That you are a minor God on the earth.
Right.
And that everything Adam had, you have.
Amen.
And although I don't feel like I'm manifesting that the way that it should be, I'm going to keep saying it.
Right.
I'm going to keep saying it. I got everything that Adam had.
Yes, sir.
It's mine.
Amen.
I am a son of God. I have eternal life.
Right.
It didn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending.
Amen.
Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now it passed from his hand to the one who sold out to Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasoning. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth that belonged to him, he forfeited it, every bit of it, to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hand to Satan. Therefore, now, see, it has been a return, and it has been polluted, and the seed of Abraham has destroyed the inheritance that Adam should have had. That's the earth. That's right. See, the seed of Adam. And remember, his rights to eternal life, he lost his inheritance, the earth, he lost his fellowship, he lost his right to life. See, being the God, he lost being the God of the earth. He lost that the earth, he had complete supreme control. He could have spoke to that necklace and it would have did whatever he said.
Right.
Or he could have not spoke to it, just like the prophet. He could have just looked at it.
Right.
And the thought made it move.
Amen.
Without speaking the word. All right, this is in Revelation chapter 5, part 1. This is 1961. This is from the original church ages. Now, paragraph 122. Now, we see something that was lost here. Because the Bible said in the book here that has redeemed us. See? What are we redeemed from? And that's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. Something we must have lost. If you're redeemed, there's something that was lost. There's something has to be back. And so, if the prophet keeps telling us, that is what Adam had. That, isn't that what he, have you ever found where he said anything different than what Adam had? Brother Branham always pointed to what Adam had. And he always said, that's what you've got now.
Yes.
That's what's been stored back.
Amen.
Now, that's way back there in the 50s. That's in the early 60s. That's in the 60s from the seals on. That's the same thing. So I can't find where he ever pointed anywhere else but to what Adam had and what Adam lost. And what he lost was his inheritance, which was the earth. What he lost was his right to eternal life. What he lost was being God of the earth having complete supreme control.
Right?
Because there was something there, and that was guilt. There was some guilt that was there. And maybe that's where our problem is. Maybe you still have some guilt. Maybe there's something that's got to be moved out.
Yes, sir.
But when we recognize this message, that and Brother Branham mentioned it in the seals, and he mentioned it along the way, and then he mentioned it in Visible Union, there's absolutely no sin in the bride.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely no sin in the bride whatsoever. He said, you didn't do it.
Right. Amen.
That's right. Said, but that seed that was in him, he took us to 1 John 3. And he said, you have no sin and you cannot sin because that seed was in there from the beginning.
Amen.
And that's what's being recognized. Adam recognized it.
Amen.
He recognized, he knew. There was no doubt in his mind. God came and talked to him every day. He knew who he was. See, something must have been lost before you can be redeemed. There must be something that redeemed us back. And all the inheritance that we had has been redeemed back. See? Then we must have had something one time that we do not have now. But this Lamb come to redeem. See? And we had something we was lost from. That's right. That's right. So, right to eternal life, inheritance of the earth, his fellowship, this God of the earth, all these things. Paragraph 123. Now notice now, what did we lose? Well, it was given to Adam to have eternal life. As long as he eat from the tree, he had eternal life. You know, I was reading this morning, and if you're going to take this in in the intellectual realm, mm-hmm. then it don't make sense. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It doesn't. Think about it. If you do this and this and this, you have eternal life. Eternal means no beginning and no ending.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
So how are you going to base eternal life on a condition of something?
Amen.
You say, brother, you're getting way out there. Well, maybe, right. maybe.
That's good.
The prophet is trying to get us in a spiritual realm.
Amen.
He's trying to bring us to a spiritual understanding. And so Adam was given a conditional covenant. And that conditional covenant was to fulfill God's purpose for that day. And as soon as God fulfilled that purpose, God was done with that.
Yes, sir.
And then not only that, he was going to get rid of the results of that. He was going to take maybe 1,000 to maybe more than 1,000 years. But anyways, Cain's seed come along and they begin to multiply. Then they begin to mix together. Then God said, okay, now I've had enough of all of this. Now this is going away. And so God raised up Noah, and Noah, we don't hear nothing to him about him until he's about 500 years old. And then all of a sudden he comes on the scene and he's going to build an ark. And then he does that. God cleans the earth. He wipes out all the Cain seed, all the serpent seed, fleshly. Spiritually, the serpent seed's here. Fleshly, it was wiped out in the flood. Okay? And now, that serpent seed now, here's him with three sons, three daughter-in-laws, and him and his wife. Now, and this is the population of the earth now, is this group of people, eight people. Right? And so now they're going forward. And now, what happens is, God loved Noah and was so impressed with Noah that he was going to save him, a preacher of righteousness. Okay, but now what did Noah's sons do? Some of them, you got Nimrod and you got all of this idol worship and all this making their own religions, making all this other stuff. And that stuff continued to today. But that's on the spiritual side now. That's on the spiritual.
Amen.
But on the natural side, the serpent seed was wiped out. Cain's seed was wiped out. And so the spiritual seed's here, but not the natural seed. Because there's only eight people.
Right.
Only eight people come across. And Genesis chapter 5 says that Noah was perfect in his generations. He had not mixed.
Right.
And so it came over spiritually. So, and didn't mean to get off on that. Paragraph 123, I think. Yeah. Notice, what did we lose? I'm dropping down in there. See, he was like an amateur god over the earth. And the earth was his. Everything was given into his hands. And he could do it with whatever he wanted to. He named it. He called it. He done whatever he wanted to. He was truly a son of God. That's right. Okay. Now, let me go back because I got sidetracked here. So, he said, If you do this, then you're going to have eternal life. And so, but eternal life doesn't have a beginning and an ending. So if somebody's going to come along and say that Adam lost his eternal life, then how you can't make it come all the way through, or you're going to have to do away with this idea that eternal has no beginning and no ending. Now, if you can bring eternal to mean everlasting, then you can take that idea. You can take that idea then and you can make it work. But the difference, and Brother Branham, it's another revelation that came forth in the seventh age. And that revelation was the difference between everlasting. Everlasting is a period of time. And so every time if you're searching for an eternal burning hell, you won't find it. But you'll find an everlasting hell. You'll find an everlasting fire. You'll find an everlasting punishment.
Yes, sir.
But you won't find an eternal.
Right.
See? But you'll find an eternal separation.
Yes.
So those people were eternally separated from God. They never were a part of God. They never will be a part of God.
Right.
They're never going to be. then that in itself,
yes, sir,
just recognizing that they are eternally separated, lets you know. Once again, Brother Branham said, common sense.
Right.
It tells you that to have eternal life is you always were a part of God. Not beginning and ending, but you always were. You always will be. God is the only eternal. And Adam had eternal life.
Right.
And Adam just as eternal tonight, this morning, as he was in that day.
Yes, sir.
He's just as eternal right now.
Right.
What he lost was eternal life in that veil of flesh.
Yes, sir.
Because the veil died. His eternal life didn't die.
Amen.
That's common sense.
Yes, sir.
According to the prophet. I don't like using that terminology, but a word is a word.
Yes, sir.
And if a word means anything, then you got to go with it.
Right.
And if eternal means no beginning and no ending, then so be it. That's it.
Amen.
Don't try to change it. Don't twist it to make it fit an idea.
Right.
Or a theology or a personal revelation.
Amen.
I'm going to read 123 again. Now notice, what did we lose? Well, it was given to Adam to have eternal life. As long as he eat from the tree, he had eternal life. And we notice again that Adam, he inherited the earth. He was like an amateur god over the earth. The earth was his. Everything was given into his hand. He could do with it whatever he wanted to. He named it, he called it, he done whatever he wanted to. He was truly a son of God. So he lost all of that. He lost his rights to the earth. And who got it? Satan got it. He lost eternal life in his flesh. Now in the fall, Adam forfeited the title deed to that. See? He forfeited it to Satan. Satan took the title deed. Adam was now, we just read in the breach, where Brother Branham said that Satan didn't get the title deed. He said that it went back to God.
Amen.
So he's going to correct the statement in this message. This is before the seals. This is in 61. But he's not confused what he's saying. He's going to bring it back to the same thing he said in the seals. So this isn't one of those places where before the seals, he's seen it one way. After the seals, he's seen it another way. No, he sees it the same here. And so he'll bring it back. Adam was very slothful. And he did not redeem his rights, for he could not redeem his rights. Adam could not do the work of redemption. But Satan, which does not rightfully own it, but he possesses that. He's the god of the earth. The Bible said so. He possesses that, see? Not because he rightfully gets it, see? But he possesses it. Now, do you get it? Satan possesses that. He holds it into his hands. Death is in his hand. The earth is in his hands. The world belongs to him. Every nation belongs to him. He governs it and controls the whole world. And everything in the world, Satan does. Now, it was waiting only to be taken back. The price was paid, we know, but it had to be claimed. So this is before the seals here. We thank God we're not of the world. See, there you are. Now look, I don't mean the church. I don't mean control the church. Now you see what he's doing. He's going back to what he just said, where he said Satan is complete control of the world, complete control of every nation. Every country, every government, all of it. He's in complete control. But then he wants to clear something up. He said, I don't mean the church. I don't mean the bride. I don't mean the elect. Maybe the nominal church, that's okay. The bride, the elect of God, no. No. He said they were his, and he's the God of the world, see? He just controls the world. He said they're his. He's the God of the world. Jesus said they was. He said he's the God of this earth. Has blinded the eyes of the people. The God of this earth. See, he's the God of heaven. And now he rightly don't own this. He does not own it. See, that's going back to Leviticus 25, that the land was taken over by somebody else, and then it was for a period of time. And then the title deed went back to the original owner, God, and then he comes to make his claim. He comes to make his claim. See, he does not own it. He's forfeit, and Adam forfeited the title deed to it, to this. All this stuff that we own, eternal life and the inheriting of the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, see? So we don't have it now. But look, it wasn't to Adam or to any of his seeds. Adam's seed absolutely lost everything. See, it's not the seed of Adam. No matter how much we try to beautify this world, how much we try to make big fine homes and things, it still doesn't belong to Adam's seed. See, no sir. It did not go to Adam's seed because Satan took it lock, stock, and barrel. See, for Adam forfeited it. Amen. So he's telling us whatever we're doing now, of course, now the claim's been made now. The claim's been made, but we see Satan still on his throne. And that's coming to an end. But now the claim has been made. It belongs to the bride. It belongs to God, the original owner. And he gave it to his son, Adam. He gave it to him. And he forfeited it. And now when the claim is made, now it comes back in the hands of the elect. And that's our inheritance. The earth is our inheritance. Eternal life is our right. We have the right to eternal life. How? Because he created this so that he could live in it.
Amen.
So that he could live in it. And it's him. It's him. He's done every bit of it. And he redeemed it. He let it fall. Then he redeemed it. And now he's put his life in it. He's come back. He paid the price. He come back to lay the claim on it. And so that's where we are. And remember, sometimes he's making a statement here. Remember, this is in 61 before the seals. So, 128. Oh, my, yes. So many things could be said. I just don't want to take too much time now. So we have to baptize. All right. He possesses it, but he does not rightfully own it. Satan does. And when the rightful owner lost it, there's only one way that it can be redeemed. And that's by a near kinsman. Is the only one who can rightfully redeem it. Now, of course, this we have in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That's where it came back. That's where the kinsman redeemer came from. That was the one who God in flesh came now to pay the price. And I'm skipping over about three paragraphs here. Down to 155. It's a book of redemption. I'm sorry. It's a book of revelation. It's a book of the revelation. God revealing himself. And now through these great mysteries, he's revealing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. He's revealing there's no such thing as eternal hell. He's revealing these different things. Let me drop down. 157. Now security. Those who he foreknew, he called. Those who he called, he justified. Those who he justified, he has already glorified. So if he foreknew you, he called you. If he called you, he justified you. And if he justified you, he glorified you. That's Ephesians 1. God, before the foundation of the world, has predestinated us unto the adoption of sons through Christ Jesus. Now, I can remember when I was a young Christian, and I never really got the concept of the adoption or the purpose of it. I understood that the child sits under a tutor. He sits under a tutor, and he's taught up. And then one day, then he's given the authority. He's given the keys. He comes to that place of maturity where he can now make the same decisions as the Father. And so it just really clicked for me how this plays in, because that's what Adam lost. That's what Adam lost. He lost the keys. He lost the right to all that God had given. And so it all was forfeited, it all went away, and now it's been building now. The body of Jesus Christ has been building and building and building, coming back to that place where it can stand there, an adopted son, where it can stand there in the full maturity of the Word, in the full maturity of the revelation, and can stand there and handle the Word of God, just like Adam handled the Word of God. That it can be in complete control.
Amen.
Ever notice how everything about Satan is chaos and confusion? And with God, it's not? And you think about praying for something. And I used to think about this a lot, especially back there in Pentecost, in the church ages. And that if you got a million believers or just 1,000 believers and they're praying for one thing. Okay, say part of them are praying for it to rain and the other part of them are praying it don't rain. What's God going to do? What's he going to do? Huh? You get my point?
Right.
Just think. So now, if we had one Adam there who was in complete supreme control and did whatever he wanted to do. And now that is now put into 100,000 or 1,000, however many people makes up the body of Jesus Christ. And every one of them have that. And every one of them can speak whatever they want. You know why there's no confusion in that? Because in them is only one eternal life. And in them is only one voice, one spirit that's leading them.
Amen.
And that thing that's leading them, that's why when you are led by the Spirit of God right now, every day, God is leading you in the way that he wants you to go.
Right.
And God is leading all of his pride. It doesn't mean that he's going to lead me and lead you do the same thing. No, the same word, the same revelation, yes. But he might want you to go over there and do something. He might want me to go over here and do something.
Right.
And the ability to follow the leading when God is sending two or three this way, and then you're sending you or two over this way or one or two, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But that's where you really see it, is when God's sending a group this one way and you're being pulled the other way. We want to keep looking back. Satan uses that thing of numbers. That, oh, well, this is God because this more people are doing that. No, no. That's God because three people are being led to God.
Right.
This is God because one person is being led to God.
Amen.
However it is, it's knowing when God is leading you.
Yes.
It's recognizing. It's coming back into that place of a son of God, a daughter of God. That can recognize the presence of God. John tells us here in Revelation that the enemy in the last days, that religious enemy, would get amongst people and have organizations and so forth and cults and so forth as they have today, and would deceive the very elected if it was possible, and would call all whose names are not put on the Lamb's Book of Life since the very foundation of the world. When was your name put on the Lamb's Book of Life? Before the foundation of the world. And when was Christ slain? 1900 years ago? No, sir. Before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Does that change your view of what's taking place today? Is this what he said about written epistles read of all men? I said many times, I always looked at those scriptures during Pentecost and I said, okay, there was somebody back there and every time they did something, they're writing it. And they're going to do that about us. You're going to do something, we're going to write it down. No, that was only a partial revelation. The real revelation was that you're doing what he wrote before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
He already wrote it. He already wrote everything those disciples did. Yeah, they were writing it down, putting it in a book. But the real revelation came today. What you're doing was done before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Because everything about you was in him, was predetermined in him.
Yes, sir.
And you're just living every day according to what he had in his mind.
That's right.
God let that thing sink in. God let that sink in. And then it'd be a lot easier to be just like Adam. No doubt who you are. No doubt what you're here for. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See what it's doing? It's these seals opening up. Just begin to reveal the plan of redemption. How he did it, see? It's all over now. See? Just finishing it up. So we're at the end time, see? That's why the things are being revealed. That's right. Why? We're at the end time. The whole thing is finishing. It's wrapped up now. And that's the thing. As we go in the seals, and that's exactly what he brings out, is that the church ages had to be finished. Redemption had to be finished. Every name on the book had to be there. It was all there before the foundation of the world. It was all a finished work. And now we've come down to the climax, the manifestation of the final days of it. See? Praise God. 161. Now our kingdom, now our kinsman is handed the seven seal book of redemption from the original owner. That's where it went back. It went back to the hands of the original owner. See, Satan, what was Satan? Just a squatter. See, when we lost it at the Garden of Eden through Adam, it went back to the original owner. But there's been a poacher on the land, a squatter, and that's Satan. And he come over, he's a poacher, and this earth don't belong to him. It belongs to God. He's a poacher, a squatter. See? Now, how I could say something right now, but I better not. Is the title deed of our redemption this seven seal book? It's the title deed. You wait till we get into those seals.
Amen.
Listen, what he's saying now. This is a matter as we go along. He breaks the seals and he reveals. He gives us his inheritance to his people. Gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited, becoming kinsman redeemer, and freely gives it out to us.
Amen.
What's he doing? He's giving it back. He's redeemed it. He paid for it 2,000 years ago. Now he's taking the book now, and he is giving it back to you, to the bride.
Amen.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Am I reading it wrong?
No.
That's what he's saying. He breaks the seals and he reveals. He gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited, becoming kinsman redeemer. And freely gives it out to us. It all belonged to him. He was the one who redeemed it. But instead of keeping it to himself, he gives it back to the people. See, Satan, the possessor of it now, the squatter, he don't want to give it up right quick. We find out here a little later on in the scriptures. I'm thinking over here in another chapter, he didn't want to give it up right away. But he had to fight over it. But finally, he was brought to a showdown. He was cast in the lake of the fire. So this is still in the Revelation chapter 5. He's bringing this. Jesus, the name of Jesus in the Gospels, and I'm closing now just in a few minutes. The name of Jesus in the Gospel has four titles of son. Did you know that? Jesus has four titles as son in the Gospel. And one of them is the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of man, and the son of God. And now watch. When our kinsman redeemer become Jesus Christ, he become the son of David, which is an heir to the throne. He heired the throne by being the son of David. And God told back there that he would never leave David without a seed. And Christ is the son of David. He become our kinsman redeemer and waiting, getting a place ready to where he can reign with us. And we know after the seals, Brother Branham brought it down to three. But here he's putting Abraham in here. See, and the son of David, he's the heir of the throne. And the son of Abraham, he's the heir to the royal grant. Amen, that's right. He's an heir to the royal grant. Palestine and all that's in her. Abraham's seed. He was a son of Abraham. And as the son of man, what does the son of man? What did man lose? He lost the earth. So as the son of man, he's the heir to everything in the earth. Brother Ben always said, son of man is prophet. Son of man is the word. It was the word in the man. And man was given the inheritance of the earth. All this he's got, and he has to give it back to us. Then he's returning back as he was. Amen. Now then, as the son of God, he inherits all things. As the son of David, he's heir to the throne. Son of Abraham, he's heir to the royal grant. As a son of man, heir to the earth. As a son of God, he's heir to all things in heavens and earth. Yeah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all of it, he's paid for it. He created it. Then he paid for it. He redeemed it. Now he's claimed it and he's put it back to his wife, yeah, to that elect. I want to read one more, 169. I'm going to read this because he talks some more about that squatter. Now notice this. Oh, this does me so good. This is where I really get feeding. Now let your hearts loose to God just for a few minutes. Listen to this. Satan is a squatter. He don't legally own this. He's had 2,000 years of fuss whether he owns it or somebody else owns it. But Christ came as the kinsman redeemer and redeemed it back to us. But Satan possesses it. See, you know, after a while, this great fight's over. He'll be cast in the lake of fire. He'll be done away with. All them who worships with him, but the heirs of salvation will come with Christ. Now he's a squatter. And remember in the Old Testament, a man lost his inheritance, a squatter come on the land. He could not hold it any longer from annihilation until 50 years. And after 50 years, another jubilee came by, see? And then what was it? They were set free. And Brother Branham said, you remember Brother Branham making the statement that 1977, he believed that it would be finished? Brother Branham typed that out one time and said that 77 was the jubilee. And we know that the calendar's gone so far now. And I hadn't read that in years, and I think that's right. He said 77 was the jubilee. And so you look where we've gone from that. And that it was in the 70s where the revelation really exploded and really began to go and really began to open up. The things that was already been said, already been revealed, but was still in that supernatural element, and it began to go out until this day, it's still going forth. It's still opening up. It's still God revealing himself. Amen. So God bless you this morning. I hope I haven't tired you out with the reading, but I'm definitely wanting to put it in there. Oh, I want you to see it there. And I didn't read it all. So if you want to read it, you can go back and read it. We'll ask you to stand together with us, and we're going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come around. And so continue to pray one for another. I think the sickness is out, but we just want to continue to hold one another up.
About the free moral agent.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Пророкът
First time I heard it this morning.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see it this morning, but I looked at it. But Brother Don, free moral agency is given to the soul. Every soul, even the devil's soul has that. When God created the devil, he gave him a free moral agency because he gave him a soul. Why we are different from animals is because animals cannot choose between wrong and right, because they don't have a soul. But every human being has a soul. That's why they are judged. We have the soul of God. That soul has free moral agency. And we know we cannot choose nothing else. But God put it there. We have it, but God knows. God knew that Adam would choose the other one. He made him choose that.
Yes.
He made him choose that. Now he made us not to choose nothing else but him. But you have, if you have a soul, you have free moral agency. Brother, I'm sorry, that's a wrong doctrine. I'm sorry about that. That's a wrong doctrine right there. Because free moral agency, free moral agency is given to the soul of God. The soul has free moral agency. What it chooses is God's mind. God's mind, if it's there, if it's soul of God, it does not choose nothing else, but it's there. At the end of it all, God will say, you chose this, you chose this, and that's why I didn't want you, and that's why, like that. But you have the free moral agency. And I think, Brother Don, we are taken back there. We are taken back there. Redemption is like a resurrection. I'm not preaching about that. It's like a resurrection. Okay. Resurrection, the prophet said, is not replacement. Resurrection is not replacement.
Amen. That's right.
It's not. Resurrection is bringing that thing that died back here. That's resurrection.
Right.
You see that? So it's redemption. Redemption is not patching up something. No, it's taking it from where it got lost. You bring it back to where it got lost from. We are taken back to be Adams in that age. We are taken back there. That's right. If God takes us anywhere else, that will not be redemption. God takes us anywhere else, that will not be redemption. Not only that, God will have learned. He's not God. He doesn't learn a new thing. That's the best he knew. The way Adam was. That's the best.
Amen.
And he looked at it, he loved it, that was the best. So if he's going to do something else, then bring something else, he's going to bring another Adam. That's why he cannot even call Jesus Christ anything else. He calls him second Adam. If he brings anything else, except second Adam, that's not redemption. That's not God. If God has done something in you, he's not God. That's right. Those doctrines, you got to be watchful of this doctrine. You got to be watchful. You got to watch. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. If anything comes, you have a thinking man's filter. Look at it. Look at it through the glasses of the word. If it doesn't go all through, just leave it. Just have nothing to do with it. It's not. Listen. They'll come. These things will come and come and come. Be careful. If it is not according to the word, from Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't matter how much you love me. You love me, that's okay. This is not about. We are not here for competition of love and things. No! We are on one thing. We our eyes are unto him. If it's not according to him, it doesn't matter how much I love you, Brother Don, but I'll tell you, now, I differ with you. I love you, but I differ with you on that. I respect you. That's okay. I respect you. That's okay. But this, Jesus is standing there, brother. Jesus is standing there, sister. And your brother that you think you love, your father, your mother, your whole is also standing here. Choose between them. Choose. Who are you going to stand with? Who are you going to stand with?
Amen.
It's come to a time where you cannot even stand with your wife. Brother Don, you're preaching the other day, and I'm not saying that you differed with my wife, but my wife told me, if he fell from there, and we had another maybe about 30 or so minutes, maybe 30 or 20 minutes like that, and I said, no, because if he fell from it, right, then he doesn't have it. He has fallen from it. I told him, no, listen, because this is a very big confusion that's come. Listen very well. Adam was eternal. And I told her, and I read quotes. We were laying on the board and on the bed, and I had to read quotes to prove what I'm saying. You are eternal. If you're going to live in a body that is eternal, then that body is eternal. If you're going to live on an earth that is eternal, that earth is eternal. If you're going to live in a spirit that is eternal, that spirit is eternal. If you're going to live in a soul that is that spirit, your body, your soul, your spirit are eternal. Death, the way it fell down, the prophet said, the Bible said, thus thou art, and thus thou shalt. That does not mean it's annihilated. The body is not annihilated even when it gets back there. It will be raised back up. It died. The life went away from it, and it fell. But you live in a body, in a glorified body. God will call from the potter. And God said, and I read her quote, God said that when he created your body, this earth that is eternal, he created your body on it. Now when you come wrong. You tell me that Adam was not eternal. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me that. You look at everything. And I know that's a controversial bit when I say the body is eternal. Yes, the only thing it does, it goes back to dust, and it will come back. And you live in a body. The prophet said, God did not intend us to live like spirits, sitting on the clouds. No, he intended us to be in bodies, like Adam was, and to work, not to sweat. But to work, he said, we're going to work. You see that, brothers? But what am I saying? Look out on those things. If it doesn't go all through, it doesn't matter how much, because it's so listening, it's so good, it looks so nice, so well. If it doesn't go all through with the messages, brother, leave it alone. Amen. Leave it alone.
Amen.
Love anybody who brings it. Love him. Don't disrespect them. Love them with all you have. Pray for them. If you can help them, you can bring a quote. But don't you never take anything that is not according to the prophet overthrow. Let's pray. Let's pray. We are thankful, Father, for whenever you gather us together, Lord God, you have some food that you feed us. And Lord, our hearts are looking for nothing else except that spiritual food induces on Lord. And when you bring it, just like children, when they're hungry, Lord God, and you sit them around, Lord God, and you feed them, you can see their faces, Father, how happy they are, how they enjoyed that meal, Lord God, and they are so happy jumping up and down. And that's what exactly your hearts are doing, Lord God. They're jumping up and down with joy when you speak the way you've spoken today and every time that we gather, Lord. We are thankful. Bless the people. Give us that faith, Lord God. Faith, we know is your will. Like Brother Don asked that question about, what if some people are praying for this, and another group is praying for this, different things. What would you do? And we know, Lord God, that cannot happen when it's your children. Because your children have one mind, out of one mind, and one accord. The minds of Christ are in them, so they pray for the right. They pray as the Father leads them, so they pray the right thing, and you do the right thing, Lord God. You do according to what you put in their minds, Father, because it's you that is in them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Bless Brother John, Lord God. Bless his family. Bless each family that is here, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God. Thank you for. And we would like to say, Father, that sometimes. We come to you that so and so is sick and we pray and we talk to you and Lord God, sometimes you're so desperate, Lord God, that sister so and so is down and we pray for them, but Lord God, with the same intensity should we come and give thanks unto you. And sometimes you don't do that, Lord God. Forgive us for that. But Lord, we thank you. We really thank you, Father, for delivering the people from their illnesses, from their going down the valley, you went down with them, Lord God, and strengthening them and things like that. And everything that we prayed, Father, and granted, we come to you with the same intensity, Lord, to thank you, to tell you that we are happy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you have done to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.